for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. A Saturday afternoon service of November 29, 2003. Dr. Bill Null of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Not complain. Alexander Rishkoski told me that he could tell when people were praying for him. He said, and all they had to do to get out was to sign a statement that said Jesus Christ was dead. That's all they had to do to get out was sign a statement saying Jesus. And then he said, I know what you'll do with that. You'll take it back and you'll nail it on my church door for my people to see. I'm not going to sign such thing. Richard Rembrandt said that they had an agreement with the guards. We preached and the guards beat us. Every day one of them preached. They put him in a cell, 2 by 2 by 4. He spent 18 hours in that cell. He doubled up in a little place, 2 by 2 by 4. He got ready to leave. He said, you look back at the cell as it was to prison, as they were driving him away, taking him to Sweden. He was a Swedish Lutheran. He said, Jesus, if I can't be as close to you out here as I was in jail, I want to go back to my cell. I mean, those people knew Jesus in a way I don't know. I'm going to say to you, don't rebel against authority. If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, don't do it, but be prepared to accept the consequences with good grace and pray and say, God, what am I supposed to do here? Why have you got me in this place? Who am I supposed to witness to him? I could talk all day about prisoners. I've been in this hustle for 20 years, and I've had a number of experiences that God has carried me through to pray for prisoners. I just marvel at their faith and their persistence. You must always forgive and never retain anger. Never retain anger. Look at Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians now. It's right after. You got Romans, you got Colossians, you got the Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 4:32. Not 32, I'm sorry. 27. 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. A new day begins at sunset. Settle it before sunset. This is particularly true for husbands and wives. Nor give place to the devil. That word place there means set a place for him at the table, move the chairs around so that he got a place there. Or to scoot over on the couch and let him sit beside you. That's the context. You continue to have unforgiveness in your heart. Anger. Anger is a sure sign you got bitterness and unforgiveness, that you want revenge. You retain it. You need to forgive. Say, God, I don't want... You know what revenge means? I mean, what forgiveness means? Forgiveness means that you give up the right to revenge. Revenge means to make somebody pay their debt for what they did. Make them pay. Now, when you forgive a debt, you write it off. You say, somebody owes you $10, you say, I forgive the debt, then you don't want the debt. You just let it go. You have forgiven it. You don't expect payment. When you forgive somebody from an offense, that means that you don't expect them to pay for that. How many of you said, I want them to pay for that? If you do that, you're stealing. You're a thief. Because it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, you're stealing from God, just like you don't pay your tithe, you're stealing from God. You don't pay your tithe, you steal, you're a thief. 10% is God's income tax. You pay it. Before you pay anything else. You pay your government income tax, you won't ever see it. They take it out of your check. You need to pay your tithe the same way and live on the rest. Well, I can't afford to. You can't afford not to. And it'll cut a hole in the bottom of your sack, and it'll all run out. You say, where'd it all go? You can't shovel in there fast enough. The barrel will come and eat your fruit. Yeah, okay. So, you forgive. And how do you forgive? Look at Matthew 5, 22, 26. And let's look at Matthew first. Let's look at Matthew 25, 26. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and judge hand you to the officer and you be thrown in jail. I mean, you got an argument with somebody. You settle it quick. You forgive. Even if you ain't in fault. Forgive the person and let it go. He said, if somebody wants to borrow your cloak, give them your coat too. Somebody says, carry my armor and I a mile, you carry it 2 miles. Somebody wants to borrow from you, don't let your eye be evil. Because you say the day of reckoning is the day of forgiveness is near. And you close your hand and your eye be evil towards your neighbor and you give him nothing. And he will cry out to God and God will consider it sin to you. That's where the evil eye comes from. The greedy eye. Same thing in the parable of the parable of workers. You know, they all went out and the first one said, yeah, we'll work for denarius. And he went out at 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Hired a whole bunch of more folks and gave them all the denarius. And the ones that had been there all day said, that ain't fair. He said, what's wrong? Didn't we agree for denarius? Oh, he said, don't I have a right to do what's mine or is your eye evil towards me? Greedy, you want more. There's a whole lot of other verses I could quote, but I won't. Because we're running out of time and I'm not half through. Praise your Lord. And so, then you look at Matthew 42, 43. It says, you've heard that I say, love your enemy and hate, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say that you love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be a son of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't the publicans do the same? The tax collectors? If you greet your brethren only, what more than others? Don't even tax collectors do that? Therefore you shall be perfect, as my Father in heaven is perfect. Just like it said in Luke. In Luke 12, it says, when you give a big party, don't invite all your well-heeled friends who can pay you back. Go out and get the poor, the downtrodden. Invite them, and you'll have reward in heaven. Catholic Charismatic Group in El Paso, Texas, got that in a word of prophecy once. Y'all got time for a short story? And so they got to looking for some poor folks that they could have Christmas dinner with. And they're looking and trying to find some poor people, you know. And somebody said, why don't you go out to the dump down in Juarez? There's a lot of poor folks down there. They dig in the garbage all day and try to find things to recycle. And 3 days a week they eat garbage because there's not enough. They don't make enough. I think they'd appreciate dinner. And so they went down to Juarez, and it stunk real bad down there. But sure enough, there was 120 people down there doing just what that person said. So they said, you know, Christmas dinner, we're going to come down and give you a Christmas dinner. Good. So they were accountants and lawyers and doctors. And the accountants made very careful records of everything they took down so they could charge it off their taxes. They were going to donate it to the church, and the church was going to give them a tax receipt for it. So they can, you know, get taxes. Good CPA, you know, he's going to get the tax advantage. It's the law. And so they went down there, and they pulled up, and they set up their table. What they didn't know was that the dump was divided into four parts. Instead of 120 people there, there were about 500 or 600 there. And they only had enough food for about 200. And they looked around, and they put it all on the table, and they had 600 hungry folks. They said, we ain't got enough food to feed all these people. And so they said, well, maybe we ought to just run, just drive off and leave it. No, they caused a riot. Let's pray. And God said, feed the people. Feed my people. And they said, okay, all y'all line up. We're going to have four lines here. And they put this. The accountant told me that he and his wife had the ham. He was a cutting ham, and his wife was a forking his own plate. And he said his arm was about to drop off, and he suddenly realized that he had not used up that ham. That he fed 120 folks. He'd cut 120 pieces of ham off that ham, and it still didn't look like he had used any of it. And they looked at the rest of it, and they got to, after they fed those people all they could eat, they're lying around engorged. They gathered up what was left, and they had more than they came with. And they took it down to the children's hospital and left it. And that started our latest food bank in Juarez, in El Paso and Juarez. And I had the privilege of going down there, learning a little bit about spiritual warfare. One day we were fixing boxes for the poor, for pregnant ladies. And we put four cans of evaporated, I think it was four cans, or three or four cans of evaporated milk in a box. And we had 120 boxes, and we didn't have enough cans of evaporated milk. And so the priest put it all back in the storehouse, and let's lock it up. And we're going to have an all-night prayer watch right here and pray for God to multiply it so we'll have enough in the morning. We put it all back in the storehouse. He put a lock hasp on it, put the key in his pocket, and we sat down, and we sat there all night and prayed. I mean, the only thing you got up to go to the bathroom to get a drink of water. But we prayed all night long. We opened that thing at 7 o'clock the next morning, and you know, there was enough everything in there to fix every box and have some left over. God had multiplied. Praise the Lord. That's the blessing. I could go on and on and on. These people said they started a school, you know, and this lady, God told this lady to start a school for the children. She don't have any money. She said, sure, you got plenty of things in there. So what about all that silver and crystal and china you got in your house? You're not using it, just sitting there. So she took it out and sold it. Started a school for the children. She said, strange thing, my car hadn't run out of gasoline since I sold that silver. She said, the tank's always full. Another one said they hadn't bought any soap, hadn't bought any kind of personal toilet items. And they had done, they sold stuff, and they did all kinds of things. They started a store down there, and started a school down there, and started a clinic down there. They just did all sorts of things for pregnant ladies. You got sick otherwise, you went over to the barrel and got some holy water and throw it on your head and said, Jehovah Rapha, heal me. But they made sure that the pregnant ladies ate well and took their vitamins and the babies would live. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'd talk all day about it. I mean, it was 30 years ago, man. But I have not forgotten. And I sometimes wonder if it's still there. Remember that anger, unforgiveness and anger, and you resolve anger, you know, you resolve unforgiveness by praying that God will bless your enemy. That's what it does. That's how you resolve it. You pray for people who hurt you. You release them. You release them to God. And you pray and you go to them and you ask them to forgive you. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Will they forgive? Will you? Whether they ask for forgiveness or not is their problem, not yours. That's between them and God. And that will release you. And so to clear against the guilty conscience, you confess your sin, repent, turn from your sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ will heal you and cleanse you. That's 1 John 1:9. And you forgive those who hurt you, offended you, give up anger and revenge, and break any curses on you that come from your sin. Then you do some other things. Remember that the Holy Spirit speaks through the intuition of your spirit. That's the wonder of your conscience. And the spiritual man, Watchman Nee, speaks of the conscience. And he says the conscience is the window of the spirit through which all communications pass. Now, you communicate with the Holy Spirit by the intuition of your spirit. But if your conscience is dirty, not clean, dirty, you got a dirty window there, you can't hear God. Remember, if you retain sin, iniquity in your heart, God won't hear you. That's what it says in the Psalms. And so, cleanse your conscience so you can hear God. He can't speak through a dirty conscience. Isaiah 59:1 says, it is not that my arm is so short that I cannot reach you, or my ear is so dull that I cannot hear you, but your sins have separated me from you, therefore I will not hear you. It's your sin that's sitting on your conscience and you can't hear God. And He won't hear you. Because if He hears you, you know what you have, what you ask for. There's some other things that I want you to think about. First is, don't grieve God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Insulting, grieving, quenching. That's the first thing. Second, keep a clear conscience. Don't get mad. Get mad, angry, bitter, settle it quick. God equates anger with murder. Remember that bitterness and rebellion are the same word in Greek. I mean Hebrew. If you're bitter, you're in rebellion. If you're in rebellion, you're going to get bitter. It's a root that will defile you, Hebrews said. And so settle those things quickly. How you settle them? By praying for your adversary. Releasing them to God. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to give you His love for them. And just release them. God will... Right? Now, you've got to maintain daily Bible reading. You have to discipline yourself. You get up and you go to the bathroom in the morning. Anybody here not go to the bathroom in the morning? Well, you ought to consider it as necessary as going to the necessary room, as they say in France and in England. They call it the necessary room. Well, you ought to consider reading your Bible as necessary as that necessary room. Because you let the poisons out, now it takes medicine in. And you should set your alarm clock an hour early in the morning. At night, give up your least favorite TV program. As I say, don't give up Gunsmoke or whatever they got on TV nowadays. You don't have to give up, but give up your least favorite and spend an hour reading the Bible. Get you a new Bible. Get another one with nice big print so you can see it. You don't have to squint. And you read it. God witnesses something to you. Have a notebook there and write it down. 3.5 chapters in the morning, 3.5 chapters in the evening. 6 months, you're going through the whole Bible. Read all the Bhagats. Because the things hidden in the Bhagats. It's the Word of God. And read it out loud so you can hear it. And the devil can hear it. You want to read it to the devil and the demons, they don't like to hear it. They leave. And so read it. Read it out loud. And when God witnesses something to you, forget it the next day and review it. Now you can do, if He wants you to study unforgiveness, study unforgiveness. Wants you to study Ephesians and do an in-depth study in Ephesians where you buy a good commentary. And you read the commentary and read the Bible, that's fine. Do that. That's extra. It'll heal you, boys. It'll keep you well. It'll heal you. It's medicine to all your flesh. You have daily prayer and meditation time. That's a daily time to sit down and come before God and pray for you, all your family. Pray for your pastor. You got a pastor? Pray for him. He needs your prayers. He has to sit up at night praying for your soul. The Bible says that he watches at night. He's sitting up at night praying for your soul because he knows he's going to have to give an account for it when he gets before Jesus Christ. That's an awesome responsibility. Your pastor's got an awesome responsibility. He's got to pray for you. He's praying for you at night. And he's got to give an account to God for you. Pray for your husband, your wife, your children. Pray for your parents. Pray for your boss. Make a list of folks that need to be saved. Pray for them. Pray for all your unsaved family members. There's a lot of things you can pray for. God will give you all kinds of things to pray for. You need to get a book and write them down. And then write down when God has answered the prayer. It builds your faith. You know, I still sometimes go back and look at those leaflets from the Jericho Force. I was going, when I moved here, I found the folder with all of them in it. I just sat there and built my face right there and cried for an hour as I read them. Went back through them. A lot of them. I said sometime, you know, somebody asked me if they could look at them, and I thought it was much too personal because I didn't think it would mean anything to them. And make like I was bragging or something. I don't know. Fellowship with believers. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not assembling together. If you're going to be a lone ranger out there, I say, oh, just me and God. Abraham walked by himself for 13 years, didn't hear from God. Well, why is that? Because he was disobedient. And during that time, he went down to Egypt and got himself a foreign wife and had a baby out. And they said, I had a big fleece there. Says, if I can get a pregnancy, this is going to be the baby that God promised me. That's the first fleece. Praise God. God, oh, Lord. Anyway, he had Ishmael during that time. No. Don't walk alone. You need prayer partners. I have a prayer partner I call every morning at 6:30. I call him at 6:15. I've been calling him at 5:30
soon this time because I want to be in here by 6. But I have a prayer partner in Salina, and we've been praying together for 10 years. Every morning, we meet together and we pray for each other and pray for our families and pray for our and pray for the government and pray for all sorts of things that God lays on our heart.
You should pray with your wife. Yes. I still think you need a man to pray with. You need another man to pray with. I think you should pray with your wife. Yes, I do. That you and your wife every day should come together in prayer. But I think that you need a... That's my personal opinion. Okay? That's not... Scripture says you should pray with your wife. He says, don't get in a fight with your wife. Take good care of your wife, lest your prayers be hindered. If you're fighting with your wife, your prayers are hindered. Oh, look at me like you don't believe that. Praise God. Let's look at Peter here. Well, Lord, I love you. I praise you and I bless you and glorify you. Where is it, Lord? There it is. Yep. Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them. Talking about the woman. With understanding, giving honor to the wife, who being the weaker vessel. That means that women are physically weaker than men. And they're more delicate. And they get their feelings hurt easier. As being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And he goes on and says all of what I've been saying, that you may inherit a blessing. And finally, you have a commitment to God's appointed leadership. You should have a commitment to your pastor. If you can't be committed to your pastor, then you aren't in the right church. You can't be committed to the church leadership. And he says, John, I want you here in the morning at 6 o'clock. Would you please come over and set these chairs up for me? You say, yes, sir, I'll be here and be there and set them up. He said, would you help me do so? Yes, I'll be there. We need folks to help change the widow's oil. You know, we in our church in Salina, every fall we changed widows and single mothers. We took kids, they brought their cars in and we changed their oil and checked the antifreeze and put new spark plugs on them and oil filters and sometimes we'd get 100 women coming in. And half of them would be unsaved. Well, we'd make appointments for them. And while we're out there working on the cars, we'd have the women in there witnessing to them and taking care of the children and seeing if they had any needs and try to help them, reaching out to single mothers and to widows. I tell you, God loves widows and fatherless children. Pure religion is to take care of widows and orphans in their distress and keep yourself untouched from the world. But you can't go wrong taking care of widows, gentlemen. And just remember, a single mother most likely is a widow. That means that she's been deserted by a man. He's gone off fornicating with somebody else, which means he would be stoned under the law, and therefore that makes her a widow before God. Look at it that way. And if she's out fornicating, pray for her. But God will touch her heart. Unfortunately, the church doesn't take care of single mothers. They will help her once. They will help her twice. And then she comes back, they make her feel like a beggar. And single mothers need help. Unless they're professional women that have a good income, they need help with their car, they need help with their rent. Those are the two things that they wind up having trouble paying. That's what Larry Burkett says, and I believe it's true. And they wind up making some type of arrangement with a man to pay their bills, to become prostitutes. They prostitute themselves. And that is sad. Now, because if they know God, God will provide for them. If they know and lean entirely on God, He will provide for them. I had some professional ladies who were single. They had good jobs, but they couldn't make it, and they were leaning on these men to help them. And got them into a good church. They got saved. I prayed for them. They came and asked me to pray for them. I witnessed to them. We got them into a good church. We got them saved. And I prayed for them and broke all the evil soul ties and broke that. And I got them hooked up with some good prayer partners. And, you know, God's meeting their needs. They're not sleeping with men anymore for money. Now, they didn't, you know, they were just getting a little help. But basically, it was sexual favor for financial support. That's prostitution in my sense. And I think it's terrible.
that is where what this place our society has come to.
I've talked about a little of everything today, but I want to encourage you to read the Bible regularly, to forgive, resolve your anger, and repent quickly from sin. Those are the things that will keep you clear. The devil cannot harass you unless he has a legal right to. And his legal right is sin. That's being greedy, cantankerous, jealous, envious, gossiping, cursing, talking about folks, even if it's true, malicious, all those things. Like brother said, put your tongue on the altar, well, just let the rest of it flop over. Those are common sins that people do every day. God hates them, and the devil loves them. That's what I say to you. Stay away from those things. Keep your eyes on God. And when you come into adversity, stand against the devil. Don't give in to him. Don't sit down and feel sorry for yourself and cry in your beer. When I think about it, I think about Alexander Rica in that punishment cell at 40 degrees, half naked. That's what I think about. And I say, oh God, I'm clothed. I got clothes on. I got shoes on my feet and clothes on my back, and I got a warm house to sleep in, and I get good, and I get to eat. What have I got to feel sorry for myself for? Think about it that way. You know, a man said I was complaining because I didn't have any shoes until I met the man who didn't have any feet.
Fortunately, our church has not known adversity and tribulation. Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation. I say to you, stay away from those things that you know hurt us. Repent quickly if you sin. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, I thank you and I praise you and I bless you and glorify you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these wonderful people who bless them so patiently, Lord. God, forgive me that I did not lead them in mass deliverance today. But I felt this is where you wanted me to go. I thought I'd be through by 4:30. Now it's almost past 5. I asked you, Lord, pour your spirit out now in the name of Jesus. Pour out your spirit, Lord, over this congregation. Devil, I say to you, you shall not steal this word. That this word is falling on good soil. On good soil. And it's going to bear crop 30, 60, 100 fold. But you shall not steal it. I speak revelation now. I speak blessings on these people. I bind the spirits of fear and frustration, of being unloved and unwanted. I bind the spirits of self-pity and selfishness and envy and jealousy and gossiping in the name of Jesus Christ, of unforgiveness. I bind and I break their power. And I release these people to Jesus. I bind these people to Jesus Christ. And I release them from these bondages in Jesus' name. I loose these demons from their assignment on these people. And I bind them and I ask the war, and the war angels will come and haul them away. And I loose the hornets from heaven. The hornets that will come in as a stinging plague and get those that would hide in caves and not come out and utterly destroy them. In the name of Jesus, I loose the angel of the Lord to come forth to minister now, that the ministering spirits will come down and minister. I bind all physical ailments. I bind all physical ailments. I speak health and wholeness in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord. Let your glory come down now, Lord God. Let your glory come down, Lord. Oh, God, let the glory come down. Hold up your hands and let the glory come down. Oh, God, let your glory come down, Lord God. I bind all pain in the name of Jesus. All sickness now in the name of Jesus. I bind all arthritis, all sickness, all pain in Jesus' name. All breathing problems, all asthma, all headaches, all PMS in the name of Jesus. I bind it and I break its power and I speak healing and restitution to God's people. Lord, let your glory come down. Lord, let your glory come down, Lord God.
Oh, God, let the glory come down. We thank you for it now, Lord. And we praise you and bless you and glorify you. And all God's people said, amen. Bless the food, Lord. Bless the food, Lord. Bless the people as they go forth. If anyone would like prayer, I'll stay and pray for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.